It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. In for Tyler and D-Mac. Here's Nate Jackson and John Davis.
Oops, the glass.
You got... So the Die Hard... I seem to be... One of my best friends just tweeted at me that Die Hard's better than Terminator
2. Everyone knows that, man.
Not everybody.
Everyone knows that.
Everybody... I think, like, people that are, like, really into focusing on what makes things good and just can't be bought off easy are into Terminator 2. Like oh, Die Hard's just a lot of cheap thrills.
Really?
And, yeah, that's all it is. Ooh. Terminator 2.
Cheap thrills.
Terminator 2, just better character development. You know, just a higher brow of a movie.
What do you know about these people? Nothing.
So, but keep it coming. 303-713-1043. Ramoslot.com text line. What's the better movie? I say Terminator 2. Nate incorrectly says Die Hard. Is that where we're at with it?
Yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And it seems like most of the texters agree with me.
Nah, I think it's Dylan count the texts. See
Dylan,
who's
waiting. Don't waste your time.
Does that mean you counted it?
No, it's just obvious. They're all Die
Hard. This is why count when it's obvious. But real quick, somebody texts in that the Saints are 7-3. No,
that's
they're not.
That's not correct.
That's totally incorrect.
They're 8-2.
They're 8-2.
8-2.
They lost to Green Bay.
Yeah, okay.
That was the other team.
Right.
That they beat him. So Drew Lock, last week we saw the Broncos offense played differently than they had all season. They were balanced. They focused on the run, which everybody agreed would be their way to win it. For one, with Drew Lock focusing on him specifically, did last week's win buy him the rest of the season as the starter?
Well, look, I think it's kind of a difficult thing to say because to me, as a coach, you want to win. Every game, that's what the Broncos need to find a way to do is create a winning culture, is create a team full of guys who know how to win the difficult games, to win the close ones down the stretch. And you know, early in the season, they weren't able to do that. What they need to find a way is to win. And so, in my mind, if whoever gives them the best chance to win has got to play, because it shows the rest of the team that hey, whoever's playing best is going to play on this team. And if you're not playing well, there are consequences to that. If you're not playing well, we can't have you on the field. We just can't, because we're trying to win games here. That's our number one objective. So based on what Drew Lock did last week, to me, he's the guy who gives him the best chance to win, because he was making every throw that was on the field except for those deep balls. He still has to work on his touch on the deep balls. And I know those receivers are getting a little frustrated with that, because when you run a go route, you want that ball to be catchable. You want it to be somewhere where your hands can touch it. Go ahead and underthrow it if you want. Give me a chance to go get it. He never underthrows a deep ball and just gives his guy a chance to go get it.
Right.
You know, very rare.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's either.
He sails it. He wants right. to just, he just heaves it, right? So that's something he knows. He's working on that. Everybody's working on that. But yeah, man, I mean, Drew Lock played well last week. He started off 0-6 with a pick, and then after that, he ended up 18 of 30. But if you throw out those first six, he finished the game 18 of 24.
Wow.
That's very good.
Really good.
So he found a rhythm, right? So it's up to his coaches, Pat Shurmur in particular, to create that rhythm with his play calling and to not put Drew in a position where he feels like he has to be a world beater in the first, second quarter and make these big plays. So for that reason, I think they got to stick to the run early and not be discouraged if they, you know, have a three and out. Or if they, you know, get stopped for no gain a couple times in a row, stick with it. Sticking with it allows you to keep Phillip Lindsay out there and get him in a rhythm and try to use Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon evenly. So I think Drew Lock absolutely proved that he should be the starting quarterback. And he had a moment where people were doubting him and his toughness and all that. He put that to rest for a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was a big moment for him last week. I mean, I was one of the guys saying, hey, maybe he shouldn't start because he's not playing very well right now. And we're trying to win.
Going into the game last week.
Yeah, going into the game last week. Because when you have a quarterback who's playing really poorly, then it reflects on everybody else on the offense. And it demoralizes the rest of the team as well, because the defense gets frustrated when they're on the field all the time, and you know they stop guys from three and out, but then there's a turnover, and you know, the other team gets the ball at the 15-yard line. You know, how do you stop them? So bad quarterback play can trickle down and stunt the development even of the receivers as well, who need the ball delivered on time. There are small windows in the NFL where that ball needs to be delivered, and It has to happen bang, bang, like that. And so these receivers work hard to make sure their steps are accurate, the three steps land, and they're turning their head around, ready for that ball to be there. So that's a long way of saying, yeah, I think Drew Lock proved that he is the starter, and he does deserve to be where he is, and he just needs to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, and I think he did, because the perception, for one, I mean, the 18 out of 30 was his final. That's his final numbers for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I mean, when you consider 0-6 was his start with the interception. I've always said this about Drew Lock, which is why I think he should be. For one, Brett Rippon's not your quarterback of the future. At times, people get enamored with the underdog story.
Tell me why.
Because we've seen it over and over again. Look, he's. Do you want to play him for six games? Do you think he's Tom Brady?
No, I'm asking you. When people say that, they say that all the time. He's not the guy.
He's what makes him not the guy? Let me go with this. The odds are he's not the guy.
That's not what I mean.
This isn't their. We did this with Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. So, we did this already.
Okay, I guess I'm confused as to what does the guy look like. What is it about Brett Rippon that makes him not the guy?
Well, when
physically
when he played,
about his game,
physically. Well, when he played physically, he's smart. I mean, he seems to like at the line of scrimmage be able to read the defenses and everything. He seems limited physically.
Okay, so
he's not the biggest guy. We did see also late in that Jets game. He threw some picks that were pretty yikes.
So did Drew Lock.
Drew Lock could be the guy. Oh, so we have Tom Brady and Joe Montana sitting behind Drew Lock right now?
No.
Is that what
we
have?
No.
That seems
we
to be the
judge
thing.
Our quarterbacks in such a hysterical manner. And I'm wondering, when people say this guy isn't, and it's obvious, what is it about him? You know more about Brett Rippon than I do.
From what I've seen from Brett Rippon, he can be a backup in the NFL. Like, he's got what it takes to be in the NFL. He doesn't have the arm. He's physically
not
fast
enough.
He's not mobile.
Okay.
So he's a smaller guy, and he's also not mobile.
Okay. That's
at least from what I've seen.
That's what I want.
He's not mobile. To develop a guy like Brett Rippon, we've seen it with Trevor Siemian.
Not mobile like the way Tom Brady's mobile?
Okay, so again, so Brett Rippon's Tom Brady. That's how many Tom Brady's do we have in the NFL history?
One.
This perception, this love of the under, and maybe Brett Rippon could, I mean, he showed, like, he was better than Jeff Driskel, mm-hmm. I think, as far as what they were trying to do. Driskel's kind of a mobile guy. He does, like, a lot of different things. But Brett Rippon, a lot of people want to see Brett Rippon. So here's what could happen. Brandon Allen came in last year. Never started a game in his NFL career. Broncos started him against the Browns. What did he do? He won. 3 weeks later, the Broncos literally averaged, it was something like 40-some inches of play at Buffalo. And these guys, you fall, you can't get caught up in these first little plays you see from a guy and then think that's the guy of the future. Brock Osweiler looked amazing for his first six starts. Trevor Siemian looked amazing for his first six starts.
So what,
these guys tend to look good.
What does give you that feeling that he's the guy of the future?
Looking amazing
isn't it? What is it?
It's to me, as weird as it sounds, like, because a lot of people always talk. We'll get into this. How do you develop a quarterback? Because we got to go to break. How do you develop a quarterback? What does it look like? What does it look like? Because I'd like to hear the one example of a quarterback, a team starting him for 3 years where he's not good, and then in the fourth year he's just amazing. I'm sure it's out there. I want to know who. Mm. We'll talk about developing the quarterbacks. Rip and Lock. We'll do that next.
To Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. In for Tyler and D-Mac. Here's Nate Jackson and John Davis.
You like this band?
Who's this, Dropkick Murphy?
The Dropkick Murphy. Yeah, there's Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys. And people, this is Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah, man, I'm down with Dropkick Murphy.
Okay, they're one of those bands, though, that, like, the lineup has changed so much over the years, I'm not even sure if any of the same people are in the band anymore.
I don't know nothing about Dropkick
Murphy. They're good. I saw them in Rancid a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
It was really good. So we're talking really quick. The discussion of the day is Die Hard versus Terminator 2.
You just keep being wrong.
We counted up the text on who picks Die Hard over Terminator 2, and you're winning.
Yeah.
You're winning based on the text. Some people are taking it a little personal. I like Terminator 2 a little better, but that's okay.
I'm going to count to three, all right? There will not be a four. That's an iconic line. Hans Gruber, when he's talking to George Takagi, and he's trying to get the code out of him to unlock these vaults where the negotiable bearer bonds are kept.
Very good.
All right. I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four. And he tries to talk his way out of it. Boom, he gets capped. And then he tries the same trick on John McClane later when he gets him cornered. And he says, I'm going to count to three. He's like, you did with Takagi? And then he tries to shoot the gun, and it was a gun that John McClane gave him, and it had no bullets. And
oh, man.
He goes, whoops, no bullets.
Oh, he's such a trickster, that John McClane.
Well, yeah, he's a New York cop, man. He knows all the tricks.
Plays by his own rules.
Yeah. Like being able to spot a phony ID. These are things you don't know, John.
Wait, how often do you watch this movie?
Every day.
Every day. It's what you watch before games.
That's right.
I was always known as the John McClane.
That's right. Yeah,
so, but keep texting us. Let us know Terminator 2 or Die Hard. Die Hard seems to run away. I think Terminator 2 is better. But before the break, we were talking about... you asked me, how do I know Brett Rippon's not the guy? Here's the thing. I technically don't know. You don't know who's the guy with anything. You can't just sit there and be rotating around two guys hoping one of them works. You've got to get with a guy,
yeah.
Find out what you have. I also don't believe, and somebody wrote in, you know, Garrett Bowles, it took 3 years. That's rare, I think, for a guy to, I don't know how many people underperform 3 straight years as a starter, and then in the fourth year, boom, here we go. I don't think that's as common. It does happen, though. I mean, Rich Gannon, quarterback, you know, he figured it out later on in his career, and he ended up being an MVP. So it does work out. But for the Broncos right now, they did the Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch thing, and they kind of blew the opportunity to draft a quarterback because neither of those guys ended up being the guy.
Yep.
So right now with Drew Lock, I like what they've done. Play him till the wheels fall off this year. Put him in every single scenario you can imagine. Don't pull him out. Don't. Because for one, Drew Lock, as we've learned, as we saw with the Chargers game.
Yeah.
As we saw with the Miami game.
Okay.
You
cannot always bank on him erasing 3 touchdown deficits.
But once he didn't erase a 3 touchdown deficit last week, he has shown resiliency. And when momentum's on his side, he tends to not lose it.
Mm. Okay.
And I don't think he's done enough to lose the starting job.
Well,
I mean, you can't.
To me, like going into last week, that's arguable because he had a couple of really, really poor performances in a row that put his team in a difficult position and it made it hard for them to win. You're trying to win games. Okay. There's a lot of people who talk about, oh, we're just building for the future. We need to find out if Drew Lock's the guy. We need to find out if everyone's the guy. We need to find out who the guy is at every position.
But you can't play everybody every game.
What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, you have to find out. You're saying you have to find out who the guy is at every position.
Right.
Right, right. But you can't just,
so
when
what
things
I'm saying
don't go
is,
perfect for a guy, you can't be like, all right, somebody new.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. If Drew Lock is playing really poorly, okay, game after game, which he hasn't, he played really good this last game. I'm saying, hypothetically speaking, if your quarterback's playing bad every week, okay, and upstairs, you are well aware that he is the reason why you guys aren't winning. He's the reason why the offense isn't getting executed. The ball's not coming out of his hands. There's the turnovers. He is preventing your team from winning, okay? You got a team full of guys who are hungry and performing well enough to win, except for this one guy who's the guy delivering the ball. When you leave him in game after game, despite this evidence, it creates a losing culture. It gets a bunch of guys used to losing, and it gets them demoralized, thinking that it doesn't matter what I do. They're just, it's about this other guy. I'm doing my job. He's not doing his, and these coaches are continuing to reward him because it's all about finding out if he's the guy. To me, that sacrifices the energy of the entire team in order to find out who this one guy is. And let's say he's not the guy, right? Let's say it takes all year to find it out. The Broncos end up 4-12, and everyone agrees Drew Lock's not the guy, okay? What you have now is a team that just had a 12-loss season, a bunch of guys that are miserable, not happy at work, and some free agents might want to leave here. Guys are not going to want to come here. And then you got to draft a new guy and start over again and determine if he's the guy or not. So in my opinion, you got to find a way to win. And whatever it takes to do that, that's the quarterback you put in.
If you don't get a quarterback, you can't win long term. Period.
Okay.
That's a micro view.
Obviously,
of benching a guy.
Yeah.
Of a benching a guy. And there's only one game this year that I think you can say Drew Lock was probably the reason they lost. The Atlanta game wasn't. That defense got tore up that whole game.
Not the whole game.
They got tore up that whole game.
No, they did not.
Game.
They got tore up in the second half.
They got tore up in the first half. It was like 17. Atlanta had like 17 points.
Because there
quick.
Was turnovers that tilted the field.
Atlanta,
the field
they were throwing the ball deep. The Raiders game is the only game you can say Drew Lock
Look, I'm not
Drew
saying
Locke
it's
was
Drew.
Bad.
I'm talking about the theory of letting a quarterback play when he sucks. I'm not talking about Drew Locke necessarily playing bad
Jake
enough.
Plummer was throwing interceptions left and right when you played with him. Did you guys want him benched?
Left and right? What are you talking about?
Jake Plummer, late in 04, like the Miami game when he famously let the crowd know, you guys ended up winning that game.
We went to the playoffs that year.
But there was a point in the season where he was throwing interceptions.
I think we won our division.
I don't think you won the division. You did not win the division.
We hosted a playoff game.
Not in 2004. 2005 is the only time you won the division in those years. It was wild card games against Indianapolis.
So we went to Indy. We went to Indy back-to-back years in the wild card
and then got rolled. And then you hosted New England.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got those Indy games. It was Peyton. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But it was
Stokely, man. It was Stokely.
But Jake Plummer was throwing ill-advised passes and interceptions.
We were on a winning team, man, on a playoff-bound team. That's different. That's very different.
So when you're okay,
when you find a way to win, like it's like, hey man, it's all right. You pat each other on the back.
Did they find a way to win against the Chargers?
The Broncos.
Did they find a way to win against Miami?
Yeah, okay. I'm praising the job Drew Locke did. What I'm arguing against is the idea that no matter how poorly he plays, it doesn't matter. We should just leave him in there and let him just get experience. It should be the same for every position on the football field. If you are playing not up to the standard on this team and you are hurting your team's chances of winning, you need to get pulled off the field and the guy behind you gets put on. And to me, the threat of being pulled is something that makes you play better. And it'll make Drew Locke play better to know that there are consequences if you play like crap. In my opinion, you know, benching a young quarterback can actually firm up his resolve and make him a better player. Because his pride gets touched there. He has to sit down and watch someone else do his job and realize, wait a second, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be holding a clipboard and re-motivate you.
There's some evidence in Broncos history to that. I don't know if I agree with that, but this is we got this going. We'll continue going. What does Drew Locke have to do to get benched? We'll continue that, and we'll continue that next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. In for Tyler and D-Mac. Here's Nate Jackson and John Davis.
Yeah. Oh, this is Nate's favorite album.
Well,
it's a great album.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the Die Hard of albums?
Dude, you won't let this go, will you? Getting crushed on the text line.
I am getting crushed on it. I did get a new T2. Somebody wrote it for me. Yeah. So
it was your friend.
It was me. I was. So we're
saying
a
prayer. It's a war. Don't forget my son.
Is this the best song on that album?
I don't know about that.
What's the best? What's the Where I Roam?
Wherever I May Roam.
I think that I always liked that one the best.
Unforgiven's a good song.
Didn't they redo it? Part two of it later on.
I don't know.
I think so. When their career was bad, they're like, let's just update the classic.
But this is an amazing song.
It's a great
Enter Sandman.
Who's the college team that comes out to this?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Nice.
They do the walkout with it, and it's like,
love it.
It's a big thing. So Brock Lesnar.
I would love to bring some athletes on and talk about the music with them. Like, what do they listen to get pumped up? You know,
mm-hmm.
what speaks to them? What gets them in the zone? Because if you were to go in a locker room before a game, everybody's listening to music.
Right.
They're in their zone. You know, they got the headphones on and they're going through their pregame stuff. And music is such a big part of it. So I know there's a lot of music lovers out there.
You've told me this before. What did you listen to before a game?
I listen to a variety of stuff, like some of this kind of stuff, some rap music, some electronic music that kind of made me feel powerful. You know, like the kind of a cross between those three genres.
All like high energy songs, though.
Yeah, but sometimes I'd bring it down to something that was like when I was rolling up in the. You know, so it was timed up. It was timed up until the kickoff, you know? You kind of build up. So on the bus on the way there, it was a different kind of music than it was once I got into the locker room and then got out on the field. You know, guys go out with their headphones on and go through their own personal warm-ups. And then, of course, once you get out there as a team, you're not listening to music anymore. But the stadium's playing music, and we actually really responded to the music played in our stadium in warm-ups. And we got to choose some of the songs sometimes. And actually, Nick Ferguson was involved in walking around the locker room and asking guys what music they wanted to play. And
really?
He would communicate it to whoever was DJing, and we'd get our music played.
Ferguson never told me that he was heavily involved in that.
If my memory serves correct, he was.
Okay, so Well, that's cool. Hey, write us in if you played sports. 303-713-1043, RamosHall.com text line. What songs did you listen to get excited? It could be a high school game. It could be whatever you played.
Yeah.
Just let us know. So we're going to keep this conversation going for a while. We're talking, what Drew Lock getting benched. I say you've got to play him
no matter
the season
what.
To find out what you have.
No bar.
No reason
too
to bench
low.
Him. There's no bar too low. You say if you think he cannot help you win,
right.
You've got to pull him out.
You saw what
get that.
Look, you watched the game last week, right?
Right.
Tua got benched. He's going to start again.
And what did his replacement do?
More than Tua was doing.
What did he do, though?
What do you mean? Is that a rhetorical question?
What did he do at the end of the game? What did Tua's
interception
do? Yes.
John.
Tua could have thrown an interception.
Did he?
I don't think Tua threw an interception that game.
Look, I guess you're missing the point that I'm making here. Because a young rookie quarterback should get benched if he's not playing well enough for his team to win. And the guy behind him should come in and see if he can do the job, if it's obviously out of hand with the other guy. Now, they're going to give the keys back to Tua. But Tua learned a valuable lesson there. First of all, he learned, you know, whatever the Broncos were throwing at him that wasn't working for him. But he also learned that poor play has consequences. And there's a guy right behind you who's good at his job, too. And actually, he had more success against the Broncos D than Tua did in that game.
He also did throw an interception.
John, he had more success against the Broncos defense than Tua did in that game.
Did it work?
It almost did, John.
Did it work? Yes or no? Did it work?
What argument are you making here?
Did benching Tua work for them?
Yeah, it did.
It did. He threw an interception. He threw an interception. Okay, did he? Fact or fiction? He threw an interception.
Yeah, he did, dude.
Did. Okay, so Drew
Locke. He led him on a scoring drive, and then also almost led him on the following scoring drive.
So did Drew Locke work against the Raiders?
No.
Okay, he led that drive that was almost a scoring drive at the end of the first half.
What are you arguing right now, John?
Did Drew Locke not lead an almost scoring drive at the end of the first half against the Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay. So that drive worked. So that drive almost worked.
I guess you're missing my point with your need to win this argument. Hold on, John. What I'm saying is, a young quarterback, it's okay to bench them if they're not playing well and the game is out of hand.
There's history that proves your point. John Elway was benched twice his rookie season. I think the first two games he was benched. He responded. He didn't respond till later in the year, though, but he did respond.
And that's what Brian Flores is hoping that Tua does. He doesn't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be their quarterback, or else he wouldn't have benched him.
Doesn't it matter who the guy is, though?
Behind him?
No. Tua's probably able. They probably got a feeling Tua can handle that. Does that make sense?
But you don't think Drew Lock can
handle? I don't know if he can.
So if Drew Lock can't handle being benched for a game because he's playing poorly, then he's not mentally fit to be the quarterback of an NFL team.
That's probably true. And that's something they have to figure out. 2006, should Jake Plummer have been benched?
No.
He was 11 touchdowns to 12 interceptions when they benched him. I don't think they should have benched him.
What was his record? Don't look at stats.
I don't think it was 7-4.
Right.
I don't think they should have benched him. That's my point, is I don't think they should have benched Jake Plummer. I think it cost them the season.
Because we were winning.
Winning record.
We were a winning team.
You were on a... Again, let me be clear here before you attack me for this. I don't think he should have been benched, Plummer.
Yeah.
You are on a losing streak, though.
Two games.
Going into the Chiefs game?
One game going into Chiefs game.
So the Chiefs game was the second of the two-game losing
streak. We were 7-3. It was right before the Thanksgiving game against the Chiefs. The drumbeat had already started for Jay. It started the summertime because he was drafted high.
Because the AFC Championship. Yeah, because the AFC Championship. People were out on that.
Right. Even though this was a team game, these are team wins, and look, Jake Plummer was a really good quarterback for the Denver Broncos. His career stats in Denver, 39-15.
Yeah, why did they bench Jake? Why did they bench him?
Because they had the shiny new toy, man.
He just got enamored with it?
Yeah, everyone does, dude. It happens.
Jake had been, he wasn't terrible. I'm not looking at the stats, I'm just looking at the record that year.
No.
He wasn't terrible, but for some reason Shanahan was just done with him.
Yeah.
It cost you guys that season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we didn't make the playoffs that season.
But, okay, so to your point then, the locker room still believed in the quarterback.
Look, when you're winning.
So that was the problem.
When you're winning, if you find a way to win.
You don't want
to
change it.
You can clean up the mistakes if you're finding a way to win. But if you're not even being competitive and it's one end is not holding up its end of the bargain, like the defense is coming to play and are playing well, but the offense isn't, you know, you have to find out what's going on with the offense and correct that. And if you find out what it is and it's the quarterback and you just continue to do the same thing and make him throw the ball 45 times a game and it's like, oh, it's okay, he'll figure it out, or we're trying to figure out if he can handle that load. Well, nobody asks their quarterback to throw 45 or 50 times a game. That's not a winning formula, you know? And so part of this is kind of the lack of familiarity these guys have with each other from a coaching staff and the players and figuring out how to use everyone. They're still trying to figure that out. They didn't have an off season. They had no mini camps, you know?
So to that point, and real quick, people texting, I want to make it clear too, Fitzpatrick probably wouldn't have thrown that pick had the game situation been a little different.
What
I understand
mean?
That
oh.
late in the game, you're more prone to throw a pick when you're trying to do a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
Because you have to. It's easier
you
to
You just
defend.
Wanted to win that argument, but you did not really have a leg to stand on.
I don't know if that's the right thing to say right now. But I don't think you have not. I don't know the situation this year where benching Drew Lock would have fixed anything. That's what I don't understand.
Well, obviously we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Benching Drew Lock,
and
he hasn't done anything.
The previous two games prior to the Dolphins game, he was playing some bad football, and he would admit it, right? And so that discussion was on the table. And I promise you, in these coaches' meetings, they were having the same discussion.
The Atlanta game, he played well in the fourth quarter, though.
But that's not enough, John.
He led a couple scoring drives, though.
But that's not enough.
So what does he have to do when you have quarterback?
Right.
When you have a young quarterback, how good do you need them to play every week?
You need them
because he hasn't played 16 games yet.
Right.
So you're saying you got it, okay, buddy? If you don't go out and you're not playing like a fifth year veteran, you're yanked. I mean, what is the line?
No.
They kept him in there in the Atlanta game, and he ended up playing well. He ended up playing well at the end of the game. I don't think he played perfect, to be fair.
Oh, no, of course.
But
look,
and
I'm not saying he needs to play perfect because no one plays perfect. You know? But what you need to be able to do as a quarterback in the NFL is execute the offense from the first snap. You know, you can't wait till the second half to kind of get warmed up. You got to do it.
No, sure.
You got to do it right off the bat. Yeah, you got to protect the ball. You know, you got to be able to get the ball out of your hands. You got to step up in the pocket. You got to not throw the ball, just throw it up, you know, when there's bad things happening. You got to read the blitzes and all that stuff that he wasn't doing. And so there are a lot of things that a young quarterback has to learn. And it's motivating to be told that you're not doing it well enough. Get out. That's actually going to motivate you as an athlete.
Tua was, and real quick, because we got a break, they had been winning with Tua.
Right.
And they still pulled him.
But
your point is when you're winning, you don't want to mess with that.
Look, I don't believe that you bench a veteran quarterback like Jake and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So you're going back to the previous. Yeah, okay.
Are very different players.
That was actually a similar situation. Tua Fitzpatrick was similar to Plummer and Cutler.
No, Fitzpatrick and Plummer are completely different players, different careers. Different win.
Oh, Jake, one's a career backup, one's a career starter.
Right.
Okay, I see that.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's never been handed the keys to a team, and it has gone well.
He's always
been the placeholder.
He was good in Buffalo, and then they paid him, and then it went back.
Exactly.
So we'll keep going. The Jay Cutler, we're getting a lot of good stuff on here. I love you, Jed. I love your shoes and your shows as well. We'll keep going. What does Drew Lock have to do to get benched? We'll keep that going next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Happy day after Thanksgiving, Denver. In for Tyler and D-Mac. Here's Nate Jackson and John Davis.
This is a pump-up song.
Yeah, man.
Oh. We asked if you played sports. Hold on. When the one part starts. I thought it was right there. I haven't heard this song in a long time.
They used to play this before kickoffs at Invesco.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I was on those kickoffs, man. That was some good energy.
So this is a very nostalgic.
Man. Yeah. We would do that one. We ready.
Yeah, Archie Eversall.
We ready. Yeah, who's that?
Archie Eversall was his name. Yeah. We ready.
Yeah.
So here we go. So we asked 303-713-1043. Ramoslaw.com test line. If you played sports at any level, could be elementary, middle school, with your friends. If you played chess, whatever. You had to get pumped up for. What song did you play? On the, for one, nobody's texted in Lose Yourself, so shame on all of you. But we had the first three texts we got were AC/DC.
Yeah.
Different songs, yeah. too.
We also got Everything Zen by Bush.
That was a deep cut.
Yeah. That we also got Right Here, Right Now by Jesus Jones.
Oh, is that who? I don't even know. I know the song. I didn't know who did it.
Right here, right now.
I actually went to a festival a few years ago where Bush and then Eminem. It was Bush and then Eminem at the very end. So, that was interesting.
Wait, it was live music you saw?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was a festival in Fontana County. It was a decade ago now. Fontana is 125 degrees.
What?
Yeah, because it's like, it's a little more inland, I think.
Yeah, dude.
More desert.
Well, a lot of those like festivals are in the desert. Like Coachella's in the desert.
Yeah, I saw Eminem at Coachella's.
Oh, too. You did?
Yeah, I went for one day. I wasn't dealing with the three days of that trash.
So brutal,
I wasn't doing
man.
That.
I've done it twice. I went to in 2010 and 2011.
Who headlined? Kanye was 2010. Jay-Z was 2010.
Yeah, it was Jay-Z.
Who did 2011?
Who was that? I don't even remember.
I couldn't, man.
Because it's headlining each night. You know, there's three different headliners.
Right.
And you have to decide if you're going to stay for Sunday because you've already been going hard Friday, Saturday.
And Eminem was Sunday. He was the Sunday.
Yeah.
Beyonce was Saturday. I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, because people, like, my buddy went every year for 10 years, and he's like, getting my Coachella tickets today, and I'm like, who's performing? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, so you're just buying a ticket to concert? Just general.
There's so much good music there. You're going to stumble on some good music in different stages and whatnot. And you're also going to meet some interesting people.
There is interesting. The year I went didn't, like, the previous year I almost went, it had, like, Kendrick Lamar, but then, like, Rancid played one day.
Oh, that's cool.
Ice Cube played. So there was, each day there was something I really liked.
Yeah.
This last time, the time I went to see M, there was the
Nobody.
Two previous days. Beyonce would have been great, but I didn't want to deal with getting out.
It's a mess. It's a real big mess there.
I didn't want to
too
deal
many
with that.
Bodies.
I didn't. Ooh, we get some Rage Against the Machine. We got Eminem House of Pain. Till I Collapse. Eminem. We're getting some good stuff. So yeah, keep it coming. 303-713-1043.
Got a lot of Eye of the Tiger too.
Ooh, Eye of the Tiger. Ooh, Pantera. Tech N9ne. I'm a play. Any Beastie Boys. So what you want? Okay, so we're having to talk. What does Drew Lock have to do to get benched? So Nate's saying. And I understand your point, because if you're a coach on a losing team, your job's on the line.
Yeah.
So you should probably be trying to win, unless they've given you, hey, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and and who knows what conversations are being had right now.
Right.
You know, between Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, John Elway. Like, how do they view Drew Lock? I think they like Drew Lock, and I think John Elway likes Drew Lock a lot.
Yes.
And so I think he's let Vic know that we're going to, you know, we're gonna ride with him, and we're gonna develop him, and we're gonna try to see what he can do. But I think in that vein, these guys have to protect him with the plays they call and the way they call these games. And I think last week was a good blueprint for that. You know,
yes,
run the football. You got two Pro Bowl running backs, two Pro Bowl running backs on this team. Two of the top 20 running backs in the NFL.
Yes, not top. Here's the thing. Neither of them are, I don't think either are top 10, but I think the combination is their top five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Them two together is a top five combination.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote in Nickelback, you're just lying. You're just straight lying.
Yeah.
Tupac Hail Mary. Anyway, so people are.
Rough Riders, though. DMX. That's
DMX.
Cool.
That and the remix. So, yeah. So, Drew Lock getting. Okay. So, Drew Lock to get. I don't think he's done enough to get benched. So, if you would have pulled him in any of these games. Would it have been the Raiders game, probably?
Yeah. Well, I was not an advocate necessarily of pulling him in the middle of the game. I was thinking last week.
Going into the game.
Going into the game, because he's also
hurt.
Dealing with an injury. He didn't practice on Wednesday.
I would have been fine with that.
Well, why?
No, I would have been fine if they would have rested him.
Yeah, yes, because like you,
he's
you know,
hurt.
You need your,
yeah.
Especially a young quarterback, those Wednesday practices are very important. Because you put in, you know, the bulk of the game plan. It's the first work day. It's kind of. You know, you're getting in the rhythm for this new week and all getting on the same page. And so when you miss that day, it's kind of rough. But it didn't seem to bother him. Like we were talking about, he started 0-6 in that game and then finished 18 of 30. So he finished 18 of 24.
After the 0-6, yeah.
Which is 75%.
There you go. Look at that.
So quick math. Sixes. So he played really well. I was really encouraged by what I saw from him. you know, mentally and physically, being able to come back from that rough week and having everybody talk about him the way they had and everybody doubting him and then being banged up as well. And so it showed a lot to me about his resilience, his mind state. What we need to figure out with Drew Lock, or what they need to figure out, is how to keep him even keel. Because you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You don't want to get so down on yourself when you throw a pick. You don't want to dwell on it. You see, every time he throws a bad play, like even right after the play, his eyes are up on the monitor. He's watching the play right after the play.
Yeah, that was the Atlanta game you pointed that out to
me. He does it all the time.
I haven't paid attention, but you're the one that pointed that out to me, that he was doing that every week. And that's troublesome because he's not leaving the play.
Yeah, let the play go.
He's not leaving.
We'll watch the film later.
Yeah.
We'll watch the film
later. You'll get yelled at this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're going to have plenty of time to watch that film. Don't pay attention to that, because the minute that play ends, the next play starts. You know, you got to be absorbing all this new information for that next play. You got to get the personnel grouping in. You know, you got to understand the situation. You got to make sure your guys are okay. You're the leader in that huddle. You're the guy they're looking to. If everyone's in the huddle looking at you and you're looking up at the monitor, watching the last play and then being like, ah, darn. Okay, guys, here we go. Next play. You don't want to see that. I don't want to see that out of my quarterback. Okay, let's just leave it. Let's go on to the next play. And he's got to be the guy. Hey, it's all good, man. Let's go. Next play. Here we go. So these are things that I don't know if anyone's talking to him about that, but in my mind, he needs to find a way to stay even keel. And our coaches used to tell us that. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Act like you've been there. You've heard that one too.
That's the big one. And that goes into his dancing.
After a game, like it's a win. The dancing.
The Chargers, I was fine with.
Yeah,
because they just won. But the Chiefs game, I didn't like when he's running into the end zone and he points at the guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, there's.
Well, yeah.
These guys can score.
Yeah, exactly.
These guys.
So he's young, he's learning, you know, and really it takes a mental fortitude to kind of stay even and not get too high, not get too low. And it becomes like these guys, like Drew Brees. Is so good at it. You know, he never really celebrates. Like, he's just like, you wouldn't even know a difference between a three and out and a touchdown. They come off the field. It's just, that's what I expected to do. I expected to score a touchdown there. So why would I be all happy about it? Like this, right. I'd be mad. I'm mad when I don't. But when I do, that's what I've planned for.
Yeah, Drew Brees is, when they score a touchdown, he's mad about the incomplete pass.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wanted to be perfect. But he's got the ability to leave plays to keep him in his mind,
yeah,
to not do it again, but right, not let it destroy him. It goes both ways. So Philip Rivers is a fiery guy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. Philip Rivers, for lack of a better term, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
When he would talk trash, he knew what he was doing.
And it's almost as if, like,
knows what he's doing, he's still playing.
Yeah. And it's almost as if, like, but it's like a focused celebration. Like, he's, I don't know. Like,
I see what you mean. It's
like
not,
like when Drew, like, yeah, like when Drew does something good, he's like, yeah, man, I'm having fun.
It's
don't
immature.
Get all loosey goosey on me, man. Stay focused.
Be silly.
Keep your eyebrow furled. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
be poised. Don't let it get don't get shaken out of your focus, because right, your focus has got to be this entirety of this game. These 3 hours, you don't get broken from that. You know, it's got to be something you get locked into.
So you were here in 2007. It was a rough year for the Broncos. You guys went like 7-9.
Uh-huh.
You went 2-0. Defense wasn't great that year, was what I always felt was the big problem. It was Jay Cutler's first full year,
yeah,
as a starter. Similar to Locke, he started the last 5 games. Kind of drew one more games, but they performed very similarly in their last 5 games. So Cutler in 2007, he got better. He got better is everything went on. And this is a KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. But Cutler, if you look at the, and I'm not a big stat guy, but the multiple touchdown games went up and the interception games went down,
mm-hmm,
as Cutler's first full season went along.
Yeah.
And he had his best game late in the year. You guys went to Kansas City. I think he threw like 4 touchdowns or something like that. So I don't know how much you remember that or being around Jay. And Jay and Drew Lock are kind of different guys. I don't know either of them, but I can comfortably say.
A little bit.
Different guys. At any point that year with Cutler as the rookie, when he wasn't always perfect, did you guys feel he was at least earning it as he went?
Yeah, I think so. For me personally, it was a rough year. I got hurt in game 5.
Was that the...
That was my groin.
That was the groin.
Yeah. So I missed the whole year after that. And that was pretty much a bummer. After that, I became a ghost. I just kind of disappeared, you know.
Like, that's right.
It sucks. When you get hurt, when you get significantly hurt and you get put on injured reserve, you don't go to meetings anymore. You don't go to practice anymore. You kind of just disappear. You're on a rehab schedule, so you show up right after everyone leaves to go to the meetings. You show up, and then you're in there for 4 hours rehab, and you go home before noon. So you're out of there. You don't, you know, nobody says hi to you. It's like dead man walking.
That's right. I had it in my head that was 08, but you were back in 08. It was 07.
Yeah.
That you hurt your groin.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I actually hurt my hamstring at the end of 08.
Oh, that's the one.
I had groin hamstring problems when I moved to tight end. So I was still, I knew how to run like a receiver. I knew how to run routes like a receiver, but now I had 20 more pounds on my frame and just the torque on my groin and hamstring. It was just constantly a problem. And I would just push it until it snapped off the bone.
That's the type of player you were.
Yeah.
That's what your job on the team called for. Because you're playing special teams.
Push it till it's explosion. Snap, dude. And all these guys do that. They push it till something snaps. You know,
that whole team, everybody that played for Shanahan played like that. You guys all did.
What?
Al Wilson just played like 100 miles per hour every play with effort.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that is instilled in practice as well because, like, we practiced very hard. I mean, we practiced at game speed. And that was Shanahan's whole thing. We practice at game speed so games don't feel fast. So games are easy.
That's good. That's good for young guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the speed's usually the biggest adjustment.
Yeah, and so practice was game speed. And so every day was game day, you know, because it's you're fighting for your job every day and just trying to earn the respect and the trust of your teammates every day and challenge them every day. You know, if you're on scout team, if I'm on scout team offense, I'm trying to take it to the first team defense. I'm trying to beat them because I want to prepare them to play. And I also want, you know, to keep my job. To show that I am, you know, have purpose here. So even guys who aren't starters, even practice squad guys, for example, you know, can really earn their keep by giving these guys a really good look on a daily basis. So it's top to bottom thing. It's not just like how are our starters going to play? Well, they play as well as the scout team prepares them to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so everybody on your roster has got to be performing at a high level on a daily basis for a team to be successful.
And people don't understand, in practice, a lot of times, it's not just the ones versus the ones. Your scout team, and
It's rarely ones
versus
praying, ones.
You're playing. Each week, certain guys on scout team are playing the role of somebody on the other
team. You're playing the other team's offense.
Defense. But with Cutler, and I don't know if you remember, 08, I think from 07 to 08, Cutler, there was a jump. I think he was still developing. Again, the worst thing that happened to him was Shanahan not continuing to develop him, I think. But I think my point is with Locke, we need to see him finish this season like Cutler finished 07, where the bad moments were shrinking.
Yeah.
And they were happening less and less.
Yeah.
And it was starting to look like, it wasn't like one day we woke up and Cutler hit us over the head and was throwing 5 touchdowns every week.
Right.
It was incremental.
Yeah.
What he was doing, the mistakes were still there. But then he came out in 08, the mistakes were still there, but it was his only Pro Bowl season of his entire career.
Yeah.
A lot of good players around him, too.
Yeah.
You guys, I still contend, if the running backs wouldn't have got hurt, you guys would have walked right into the playoffs as AFC champions.
It's funny,
AFC
West, like, champions. You actually remember more about these seasons than I do.
Yeah. Well, you guys lost all your running backs.
Yeah.
And you were signing, brought Tatum Bell back
late
in that year. But I don't want to bench Locke because I don't think he's done enough to get benched yet. But he can't. His spot for next year is far from guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't have another Oakland or Atlanta game.
Well, let me ask you this. Based on what you've seen so far, do you think he's going to be the Broncos starting quarterback next year?
If it were to end today?
Yeah.
No.
Huh.
If it were to end today.
You think they'd go and draft a guy?
Or sign. Like, I don't know if, like, Stafford's going to be. It depends on who's.
Yeah.
Who's out there.
Would you like Matt Stafford?
I'd rather draft a guy.
Mm-hmm. And then go back to square one with the development thing and.
Yeah. Go till you got a guy. Swing till you miss. That's.
Even if it takes 10 years.
Yeah. The Saints didn't have anybody for a long time. They had Archie Manning and then it was.
And then Drew Brees.
And then Drew Brees. They had some guys, Bobby Hebert, Jim Everett. They had some guys kind of come in there.
Yeah.
But they weren't doing anything. No, you don't have. Look at the division they're in. You got Mahomes and Herbert looks. Mm-hmm. Herbert looks like he's going to be the guy. Carr can play.
Derek Carr is having a Pro Bowl year.
Yeah, Carr can play. So if you don't have a quarter, if you don't have a quarterback, we're looking at 10 to 15 years of basically not being able to compete in your own division, let alone your own conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem with them right now. And Drew Locke could prove it too. Drew Locke, I'm not out on Drew Locke. He could still make it happen.
Drew Locke is 1-0 versus Justin Herbert.
That's true.
So, you know.
That's true.
Sometimes guys have other guys' number for whatever reason.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. So that was a good sign, coming back and beating that team. But yeah, those guys are going to be there for a long, long time.
What about you? What about Locke? Your question to me.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw out of him last week. I think right now he's the best option the Broncos have. He can make every throw on the field. You know, it's just to me about his mental acuity when it comes to knowing what to do with the ball and knowing what not to do with the ball.
Right.
You know, like there are times when you have to throw the ball where either your guy gets it or no one gets it. He doesn't know how to throw those balls yet. Those ones that are down that are either going to hit the dirt or your guy's going to get it. He doesn't do those throws. He throws them up. It's either your guy's going to catch it or it's going to sail over his head. And maybe someone behind him might catch it. So there's the windows are very, very small in the NFL, and you got to get it right in there. And if you can't, then you got to throw it away or take a sack. Take a sack. So these are things he's going to learn, and he is learning. And I was really encouraged by what I saw last week. And I think, you know, Pat Shurmur was as well. And hopefully they're tailoring this game plan to make sure they don't put him in bad spots and ask him to, you know, throw deep on the first play of the game. Like, don't do that kind of stuff to him, you know?
Don't put him in situations where he's clearly going to fail. Where the odds of it working, at least at that point in the game, are not high.
Yeah. Let the guys around him who are very good at their jobs too do those jobs in a way that takes the pressure off of Drew Locke, that doesn't put it all on him to move the sticks. We don't want to set up these, you know, we just don't want to rely on Drew Locke to throw for a first down every time. Or, you know, and we don't need him to hit the home runs.
Well, that was the big one, is they were having him throw deep. The touch still isn't there. He's got to get better at that. So how long is his leash after the Miami game? Or is that just situational?
You know, I think it's a week-to-week type of thing. How's he playing, you know? And if you string together two or three bad games in a row where everything's going wrong, then it should be on the table to bring in someone else to see if you can get a spark. But, look, the Broncos are 4-6, right? Are they out of the playoffs yet?
No.
They're not.
No.
So, as a football team in the NFL, the playoffs are your goal until you're mathematically eliminated. Right. So the Broncos right now, as a team, should be thinking playoffs. And how do you make the playoffs? You win this week against the Saints, right? One week at a time. If the Broncos win their next six games, they might be in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
If they want to... They got a hard. Well, they have. If they if playoffs
Look, it's a
is
super
goal,
hard. Yeah. I'm not saying,
but that well that to this to your point though, this game they have to win. They have to,
yeah.
Because next up is Kansas City.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then it's
you play
Carolina.
To win the game.
They got Buffalo. Is that Jim Mora?
But listen. If they win the next two games, okay.
Oh, they're going to the playoffs if they win the next two.
That's
games.
What I'm saying. If they win the next two games, they'll be 6-6, and then we'll have. The Panthers, that's a winnable game. Versus Buffalo here. Buffalo's good.
Yeah.
But that could be winnable.
They're beatable for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And then at the Chargers.
They've proven they can win that.
And then versus the Raiders here.
So all they got to do is beat the Saints and the Chiefs.
And they're in.
And they're good to go. That's easy enough. So Locke.
So it's the Saints right now. We don't have to worry about the Chiefs. We gotta worry about how to beat these Saints, who are 8-2 and who have played a lot of good football this year and who have been winning for a long time. This is a team that knows how to win. They know how to win every type of game. Anything that can happen in a game, these guys have been there before and they know how to do it. So the Broncos have a really super tall task ahead of them in trying to get a win. But that's how you get better, man, is you beat these type of teams, you know?
Well, I can't remember the last. Now, growing up, the Broncos were always good, so upsets weren't really a thing because it was never really necessary because they were competing. When two good teams play, there's no real upset.
Yeah, right.
And the last few years, we're looking for upsets. Miami was an upset.
It was.
That was an upset.
I don't know if it was you who said it, but someone said, if they beat the Dolphins, it will be a signature win for Vic Fangio.
I said that.
Do you still feel that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's definitely a building block, and gave them some confidence going into this game. So I think they can do it. They just have to play mistake-free football.
Do you trust this offense to play mistake-free? The defense can play mistake-free, I think, if they're healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy as they can be. Do you trust the offense to play mistake-free football?
You know, I don't know about mistake-free. They're going to make a couple mistakes.
Real quick, Dylan, will you look this up? Have the Broncos had a game this year where they did not turn the ball over?
I don't think they turned the ball over against New England.
No, Drew Lock threw two picks.
Oh, he did again, two?
Back-to-back picks.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was like they were killing him, and then Lock had... One was Tim Patrick. There was clearly Locke thought he was going to stop him back shoulder, and kept going.
Yeah.
And then the other one was similar to we saw Oakland in Atlanta, I think, pressure up the middle, and Locke just heaved it, which was a bad play call. They were winning. They should have handed the ball off.
Oh, that's right. They
put him in a bad spot.
Yep.
But I think, to my point, though, is they haven't been able. I would have said... If Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble, I get Locke through the pick. I would have said they played mistake-free last week, even with Locke's pick, because it didn't kill him.
Yeah,
Gordon's fumble kind of makes that.
Yeah, that one sucked. Argument. You know, it's hard. I feel bad for Melvin because he has that stigma now as a guy who puts the ball on the turf.
Is that contagious for a guy?
A little bit, yeah.
Because then you start overthinking where you have it.
Well, I don't know if he would actually think. Like at this point, you know. His technique, all the things he does, they're cemented in his muscle memory. The way he carries the football is the way he carries the football. And that's why he fumbles. You know, the way Philip Lindsay carries the football is the way Philip Lindsay carries the football. And that's why he doesn't fumble. He doesn't swing the ball around, you know. And also, Melvin likes to do a lot of cutting back and spinning and stuff like that. And when you're cutting back and spinning, that ball is all over the place. It presents an easy target for someone coming in to strip it. Whereas Philip Lindsay, he keeps it high and tight, and he doesn't do a lot of, you know, dancing.
And somebody wrote in, Fangio and the defense won the game against the Dolphins. They dominated their side of the ball, but the offense played really well last week.
Yeah, it was a team win.
You can't put that all on one side because the defense didn't get a turnover till the end of the game.
Yeah.
They were a huge reason they won. But last week was complimentary football. That's actually how you win.
It was a team win.
Consistently is complimentary football. So to point to, and the special teams played clean, which we haven't seen. So they have not had a game, thanks Dylan, this year where the offense did not turn the ball over.
Okay.
Do we?
Is this the week?
Against a good defense.
Yeah.
Opportunistic defense.
Right.
Defense that stops the run.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Broncos get more rhythm now in the offense, but, I mean, do we think it's possible for them to now come out and do something they haven't been able to do all year, which is not turn the ball over?
Well, yeah, I think they can because it's a point of emphasis. That's something they talk about every day, you know, and so it's something they're working on. And if you focus on something enough and you devote yourself to making yourself better at it, then you do improve at it. And preventing turnovers was a big part of what we did when I played for the Broncos, and Coach Shanahan made sure that we worked on that by incentivizing the defense on practice to try to strip the ball from us. So every time we caught a ball or ran the ball as an offense, the defense was there trying to strip it out. They were trying to get that ball out. And if they did, we had to pay them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so out of our pockets, just a little bit.
Right.
But it was the incentive part, and it gave the defense. It got the defense excited to play that game, you know, and it got them intense. And the practices were very competitive because of that. So yeah, I'm sure they're doing some stuff like that, you know, and to try to protect this ball. And Pat Shurmur is telling them every day, and they're sitting in those quarterback rooms every day. You got to protect that ball. You cannot throw that ball. Throw that ball away. Throw it in the dirt. Take that sack. Do not throw it up like that.
Or if you're getting tackled, if it's a runner.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on to that ball.
That's the tough part, you know.
When do you give, like, because Melvin Gordon, he was about to score.
Yeah.
And people are saying, should he have gone down? I'm like, he sees the goal line.
Yeah.
And he's not down yet.
Yeah.
And that fumble, too. Van Ginkel, what does that guy? That guy made a great play to strip that ball too. That was
all over the field.
That was a great play. So, yeah. I don't. Melvin's got.
Sometimes people make good plays.
That's the other thing.
You know what I mean?
That's the other thing.
And when you get a win, hey, you can forgive that kind of stuff. Come on, Melvin, you got to hold on to the ball, but you know that
he played
well too.
He played well that game.
So exactly.
But what do they have to do to not turn the ball over against the Saints?
What do you mean?
Like, the Broncos offense. I mean, it's probably more Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fumble the ball.
At the same time, though, you know, Melvin Gordon is an integral part of their offense. He's the guy who's in there in their zebra packages. He's the guy who they feel comfortable as a pass protector on the three wide receiver stuff. So he's going to be in there. He's going to get his touches. For Melvin Gordon, it's, you know, I guess putting two hands on the football and not swinging it around a lot because he likes to cut back. He likes to try to make something happen. When you do that, you make yourself very vulnerable to guys coming in to take that ball. But those fumbles, those are kind of the anomalous things. It's the interceptions that you can more control, you know. It's the interceptions that you want to avoid. And that's Drew Lock just kind of not getting ahead of himself and thinking he's got to make a world-beating play when he should just take the bad play, throw it in the dirt, throw it away, throw it out of bounds, or take a sack. But that also is a little bit of play calling as well. You know, don't put him – he feels like he's got to chuck it up.
That's it right there is the play calling. Don't put them in third and long.
Yeah.
Call the plays so it's third and manageable.
Well,
I think it's easier said than done.
You got to get positive yards on whatever you call, whether it's a run or a pass.
Well, yeah, but you can if you come out and shotgun and just throw first and second down. You're like they were doing.
Yeah.
They were ending up in third and long consistently when they came out and they ran the ball more. They were not ending up in third. And what happened? The turnovers and even the possibility of turnovers were a lot less.
Yeah.
So the game plan last week. Locke's interception had a lot to do with his mechanics.
What often does.
As much as it was a great defensive play.
Yeah.
So if he can be more comfortable in the pocket, you know, because he could have led that. I forget who he was throwing to. But he probably could have led him more. And I think the thing to the turnovers, too, this week is it's been Locke with the interceptions and Melvin Gordon with the fumbles. That seems to be the two.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other guys can't have their first turn. Like, Tim Patrick can't be fumbling.
Right.
Like, those guys have to continue to do what they were doing and not have that game-breaking turnover that normally doesn't come from somebody else.
Yeah, I'd say don't call a flea flicker.
That was so stupid. What were they doing? Melvin Gordon threw it over his head. That was poor. That was dumb. But I don't know. It's the same thing. Last week I said I wouldn't pick the Broncos to win until they won a game.
Yeah.
And so they won a game, so now it's like, okay, I can't trust them to not turn the ball over until I see it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think they can win if they turn it over?
If they turn the ball over against it, they could probably get away with one turnover.
Do you think the Saints are going to turn over the ball?
No. If they had Drew Brees, no.
Mm-hmm.
Taysom Hill fumbled last week.
Right.
I think they can get it, yes. Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll get a turnover on the Saints this weekend.
Yeah.
I think they're going to just try to overwhelm Taysom Hill.
You think they're going to blitz him?
Yes.
Do you think they'll have success?
Yeah. I think blitz him until he proves, until he makes you pay for it.
Agreed.
Blitz Taysom Hill until he makes you pay for it. That's what I would do. Because it works. It's worked on the other young quarterbacks they've played.
Yeah.
Inexperienced, I should say. Taysom Hill's not young.
He's 30.
He's 30?
Yeah.
He's been in the league, what, 4 years? He's 30?
He's 30.
Did he do something?
BYU. He went on his mission, I think. He was probably a 23-year-old freshman.
He went on a mission.
Yeah, I think so.
So he's 30.
Yeah.
Okay. He's also been in that offense for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he understands.
He knows
kind of what they want to do.
Yeah. But it's a whole different ballgame when you're the guy, when you're under center and you're the quarterback.
Sure.
Than when you're the Swiss Army knife coming in and doing some fun stuff, you know.
To come
and catch him off guard. When you're the guy and you got to make all the reads and all the calls and all the throws. It's different. So I think Vic Fangio is going to have a good game plan to go up against him and cause some confusion. And maybe there'll be a lot of sacks. I envision a lot of sacks.
You don't think Taysom Hill is going to break out?
Well, he'll do some of that, sure. But he can't do it all game.
You can prevent that, though. Or if you collapse around him, he can't go anywhere.
You can do your best. You know, a good mobile quarterback's going to slip here and there. You know, he's going to get free. And that's going to happen, but you still got to come at him. You still got to take your shots. And he's not used to just sitting back there in the pocket, man. You know, he's used to doing all this, like, on-the-fly stuff, fly sweeping, and all this wildcat and line up here and go in motion and do that kind of stuff. So he's going to be sitting in the pocket. He's going to be seeing the game differently, and I think that it's going to be an opportunity for this defense to get after him.
It's, and my worry is where I think you'll get him. If you can get him to scramble backwards, you'll be all right. Like,
yeah.
But it's if he's smart enough, Tom Brady gets teams doing this, step up and run. Like,
right.
Knowing when to step up in the pocket
right.
and take off, that's when he can. So that's, I don't know if you do what, like a linebacker spy, as they say, mm-hmm. yeah. on him with that would be the thing
to do.
Yeah, I think
they might do that just because of his mobility.
You think that's the game plan from the beginning?
I don't know.
I don't know. How much of them did you see last week? The Atlanta game. I was trying to check it out as much as I could.
Yeah, I watched a little bit. Not much.
But he was making it happen. I mean, he plays with a lot of confidence, too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what...
Because he doesn't know any different yet. And until someone comes at him and really just makes him suffer, then he's going to keep playing with that confidence. So that's what the Broncos should do, is just try to demoralize him. Just make him suffer. Hit him. Hit him hard, like Al Davis. The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
That's a good Al Davis.
Thank you.
He sounds like a diehard villain.
I think they got to get after him, man. Really get after him and scare him. You know, create some turmoil in the pocket so he cannot sit back there and pick these guys apart.
What worries me is the screen to Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara's such a talent, man. He's such a talented dude. He can do a lot. And you got arguably, you know, the best receiver in the league as well. Michael Thomas, I mean, he's at least top three, has been. So, tall task for sure for the defense, but this guy's not Drew Brees.
No, that's kind of the big thing, is he's not. They're much more, we've seen it in Denver. We've seen it here. We had Peyton retired. We had Trevor Siemian, but we had Emmanuel. We had DT. Mm-hmm. CJ Anderson is a Pro Bowl running back.
Yeah.
If you don't have the right guy facilitating the ball.
Right.
The effect. Look at the Buccaneers last year.
Yeah.
With Jameis throwing all those picks, who's oddly enough on the Saints. If the right guy's not throwing the ball, what are you going to do?
Yeah, man. But oftentimes, you know, if the rest of the team is doing what they're doing, you don't need the quarterback to have crazy numbers. Like Taysom Hill was 18-23 last week. That's not a lot of passes, you know? That's a pretty manageable workload for a quarterback.
Do we know his yards, Dylan? His yards per pass?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have
to what did he throw for 200 yards or something?
Probably something like that. But they called an efficient game for him.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not asking him to throw the ball 40 times is the point.
His yards per attempt was a little over 10 yards.
Okay, so
how many yards did he throw for?
He threw for 233.
Okay. Cool.
That's perfect. That's kind of what you want out of Locke right now, right?
Well, that's what he did last week, Locke. He was 18-30 for 230.
This Saints team, they're scary good.
You think?
I think they're rolling right now in a sense. Like the Broncos had it happen when your backup quarterback can step in and you still win. That means the team's just believing. Mm-hmm. On a whole other level.
Well, they're very well coached, man. They got a system in place there, and in this year of the COVID. The teams who have the system in place, who've been winning for years and have the same coach.
Low turnover on the roster.
They have the advantage. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, the Saints. Those teams who already have been good, have their system in place, have their guys there, have their coach there. Everyone knows what to expect. I mean, here on the Broncos, no one really knows what to expect. The system isn't in place. You got a new OC. Vic Fangio's only been here for 2 years. A lot of the guys are new. Who are the veterans in the locker room? Who are the guys that the young players look at and follow what they do? When I was here, I got here, and there were plenty of those guys in the locker room that showed guys like me exactly what to do and how to do it, to the point where the coaches didn't even have to coach that much because the players coach. The players know what to do. You know, we had Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Trevor Price, Al Wilson, you know, those guys were showing the young guys how to do their jobs, you know?
Yeah, you had guys at every position.
Yeah.
In those years that had been in the system.
Shannon Sharp.
For years, Shannon Sharp, Tom Nalen.
Mike Anderson.
Mike Anderson was good, man.
Yeah.
Mike Anderson.
Yeah, Tom Nalen. I mean, the offensive line was, they were veterans across the board. And a new offensive lineman comes in, come here, bud. They tell him exactly how it's going to be.
And that's why they were good for decade and a half.
And so who's that guy right now on the Broncos? You know?
That's a great question. Let's ride with that because somebody has emerged as that guy on the Broncos, much to some people's surprise. Who is he? We'll talk about that next.